Hello and welcome. Welcome everyone to our live telephone town hall meeting we have for you this afternoon. Looks like we had a few folks who dialed in early. Want to thank you all so much for being on time and prompt. Again, thank you all so much for dialing in to our Ask Me and AFT's teletown hall we have for you today. We have very special guests on the line that you'll hear from. We'll also do a Q&A portion of this forum, so stay on the line. I'll tell you in just a moment how to get in line with your question. So again, hello and welcome. Good evening. We are so excited for the call we have for you coming up here. Want to thank you so much for dialing in to our Ask Me Joint AFT Teletown Hall this evening. Our special guests, we have Ask Me President Lee Saunders, we have AFT President Randy Weingarten, and we also have candidate for U.S. Vice President Senator Kamala Harris. We'll hear introductions from President Saunders and President Weingarten, followed by remarks from Senator Harris with a short Q&A session. If you have a question today you would like to pose to our three speakers, please press zero on the keypad on your phone. Again, to get in line with your question, press zero on the keypad on your phone. Also this evening, we are asking you to provide us your email address. That way we can keep you up to date going forward about the election as well as other important union issues. So to provide us your email address, please press 7. Again, please press 7 on the keypad on your phone to provide us your email address. That is an excellent way for the union to keep you up to date going forward about important union issues. We see a bunch of people taking us up on pressing 0 and pressing 7. That's fantastic. Keep that coming. Again, good evening and welcome everyone. I'd like to personally welcome you to our very special Ask Me and AFT telephone town hall meeting we have for you tonight. Three very special guests tonight on the line. We have Ask Me President Lee Saunders, we have AFT President Randy Weingarten, as well as candidate for U.S. President Senator Kamala Harris. We'll hear introductions from all three of our special speakers, and then we'll get right to your questions and answers. If you do have a question, comment, or concern you'd like to pose of our three special speakers tonight, please press 0 on the keypad on your phone. Again, press 0 on the keypad on your phone to get in line with your question. Also this afternoon, evening, we are asking you to provide us your email address. Again, to speak with one of our staff members and provide your email address, press 7 on the keypad on your phone. That is an excellent way for the union to keep you up to date going forward. Again, press 0 on the keypad on your phone to get in line with the question. Press 7 to write us your email address. So again, welcome. You're live on the line for our Ask Me and AFT. Again, that's American Federation of Teachers, our very special joint Ask Me and AFT Teletown Hall event with very special guests, Ask Me President Lee Saunders, AFT President Randy Weingarten, and special guest candidate for U.S. President Senator Kamala Harris. To get in line with your question for our three speakers, press 0 on the keypad on your phone. I'll go through this intro maybe one more time before we officially get this started off by hearing from President Saunders first. But last time here, if you are just joining the call, I want to say good evening and welcome. Thank you for joining our Ask Me and AFT joint telephone town hall meeting we have for you tonight. If you've been on the line listening, I want to thank you so much for your patience. We are dialing out to well over 100,000 of your union sisters and brothers, so just takes us a few moments to get everyone on the line. So again, pressing 0 if you have a question for our three special guests. Again, they are asking President Lee Saunders, AFT President Randy Weingarten, and candidate for U.S. Vice President Senator Kamala Harris. So again, press 0 to get in line with your question, or press 7 on the keypad on your phone to provide us your email address. That's a great way for us to keep you up to date on the campaign as well as with other important union issues going forward. And with that, it is now my pleasure to get our call officially started off by turning this over to Ask Me President Lee Saunders. President Saunders, please take it away.
Well, thank you, moderator. And hello to the everyday heroes of Ask Me and AFT. We are two of the most powerful unions in this country. And today we'll be talking about what we need to do to elect two pro-worker champions, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, to the White House. Thank you for joining our call to hear from our very special guests as we count down the final days of this historic, high-stakes, once-in-a-lifetime campaign. Throughout this difficult year, you have done heroic work to keep your community safe and strong. You have tended to the sick. You have answered the 911 calls. You have taught your classes remotely. You have fixed the roads and picked up the trash. That's what people do in public service. We don't ask what's in it for us. We don't flinch when times are tough. We just keep doing the work. And at moments of anxiety and uncertainty like these, when our neighbors need us most, even when it means exposing ourselves to risk, we give that much more. All we really ask is to be treated with basic fairness, dignity, and respect. All we want is elected leaders who have our back. That's been missing these last 4 years, to say the least. During the worst public health crisis in a century, with the economy tanking, with state and local budgets bleeding red ink, the White House and the majority of U.S. senators have hung us out to dry. By refusing to fund the front lines, they have turned their backs on us and the people we serve. That's all going to change beginning on January 20th, 2021, if we do our work over the next few days. I'm going to repeat that. If we do our work over the next few days. When Joe Biden is president and Kamala Harris is vice president, we will have proven fighters for working people sitting in the Oval Office. We will have leaders who respect the work we do, who honor our sacrifice, whose values are our values. They will repeal the Trump tax cuts and make sure the wealthy pay their fair share. They will build on the Affordable Health Care Act instead of trying to tear it down. That means expanding access, lowering costs, and always protecting people with pre-existing conditions. Now, you can call me crazy, but I think a global pandemic is a good time to strengthen and improve our healthcare system, not to dismantle it by ramming through an illegitimate Supreme Court nominee. Finally, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have the character, they have the experience and maturity that this moment demands. They are seasoned leaders who will provide the steady hand we need. They will lead with honesty. They will lead with decency, empathy, and integrity. Qualities we've never needed more. And with that, let me turn it over to my good friend, my sister, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten.
Thank you, Lee, and thank you, Ashley. And, you know, we are, you know, I am so glad we are doing this with Ashley, because I would say to all of our AFT brothers and sisters, and our AFSCME brothers and sisters, that the two of our unions have been working side by side in so many ways in the public sector and in healthcare. And Lee, your friendship and your leadership has been profound, and it has been one that I really rely on each and every day. And I love when we have Big Blue and the Green Machine together, and it has never been more important than at this moment. We all thought that Janus was the moment of an existential threat, and then we had COVID and all of the crises that Donald Trump has made worse. Whether it is COVID and his denial of it, his abandonment of the his surrender to it, his super spreading events in so many of these states where we are seeing COVID rise, whether it is the recession where you have Mr. Trump and Mr. McConnell attempting to bankrupt the very services that we have given, that our members, that AFSCME members, that AFT members have actually been on the front lines each and every day trying to feed people, protect people, engage our kids, make sure that people are safe in hospitals throughout the country, heal them. And he will not spend a dime making sure that these states get the monies that they need to ensure that our frontline heroes are protected and not challenged with a layoff notice or feared with a layoff notice. How dare Mitch McConnell say that states should go bankrupt instead of helping them? And then you talk about our schools and the crisis of the lack of resources and the lack of guidance that we've gotten from Trump and DeVos, and how the need to ensure that our kids get educated and yet we remain safe, and how they don't seem to care. They seem to just think that regular people, whether they're meatpacking workers or whether they're nurses or whether they're teachers or whether they're sanitation workers, that we're all just expendable. So it's the COVID crisis. It's the recession. It's that 8 million more people are now in poverty. As Trump is around today celebrating GDP numbers, that doesn't even get us back to where we were in the first quarter. It's racism. It's climate. It's the democracy. All of this is on the ballot right now. It's health care. And ultimately, as we said, it is up to us to actually fight this right now and defeat the man who has made this work, who has made this worse, excuse me, with the mask. But ultimately, we have something to vote for. And that's why it's so great that we're going to have our vice presidential nominee, a woman of courage and conviction and passion. But as Lee said, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they know how to walk the walk. They understand working people because they are from working people. They understand what fight we need to re-envision America so that labor has a fair shot of negotiating good contracts and a fair shot of actually being able to organize, so that public schools have the funding instead of austerity, have the guidance instead of the worst Secretary of Education ever in our history, so that we actually have health care that we can rely on in a pandemic, instead of having the president rush through a Supreme Court nominee who wants to take it away. Someone who's actually going to deal with the fires in California and the hurricanes in the South. Someone who's going to fight, or people who are going to fight against the racism, xenophobia, the Islamophobia, the anti-Semitism that we see all the time. Someone who will unite, some people who will unite the country. That's who we are. That's who they are. But it's 4 more days to get out the vote. 4 more days to get out the vote. Because if we don't vote, we don't win. We know we've got to count every vote. We know we've got to defend the democracy. But we need a decisive win on November 4th. And that requires all of us to push harder, one day longer, one day stronger. But that's who we need to be going into these next 4 days. So that on November 3rd, November 4th, November 5th, November 6th, whenever this election is called, we will have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as our next president and our next vice president. That's why, and Lee laughs at me a lot, we're in our 31st day and our 14th state in our bus trip around the country, because we knew that it was really important to actually engage with workers and engage with our members. So we're sitting in not-so-sunny Florida right now as we're doing this conversation in this telecast hall. So back to you, my friend. And I know we're going to take some questions before Senator Harris gets on the phone.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much for opening up our call. Great, amazing words. We are so glad to have you on the line. We're going to get to our first question here in a moment, Sonia Witten. But before we do, I want to remind everyone how to participate in tonight's call. You can press 0 on the keypad on your phone to get in line with your own question, just like Sonia did, or you can press 7 on the keypad on your phone to provide us your email address. That is an excellent way for us to keep you up to date going forward, both about campaign and issues as well as other important issues going forward. So now our first question, let's bring Sonia up here live, is going to be for you, President Saunders. This is Sonia Witten from Nevada Local 4041. Sonia, you're live on the line. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for having me and allowing me to speak and ask my question. My question is, the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that cities, towns, and school boards are facing dire cash shortfalls. And we're starting to see public sector layoffs start across the country. Can you tell me a little bit about why the HEROES Act hasn't passed, and what do we expect to go from here?
Well, first of all, Sonia, it's good to hear your voice out in Nevada. I hope you're being safe in these unpleasant times. The answer to your question is real simple. The HEROES Act didn't pass, and we didn't get state and local and school aid because the Trump White House and Senate Republicans don't care, period. They don't care. They were never committed to providing a real lifeline to the millions of Americans left unemployed by Trump's catastrophic mismanagement of this pandemic. Helping working families and struggling communities just is not a priority for them. All they care about is tax cuts for the wealthy, shielding big corporations from lawsuits, and ripping away people's health care. Now, the House passed the HEROES Act in the middle of May, 5.5 months ago, if you can believe it. Now it's almost November, and instead of choosing to step up and fund the front lines, the Senate decided to take up a divisive Supreme Court nomination in the closing days of the election. That's inexcusable. This all just underscores the need to get out the vote in the final days of this campaign so we can elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and a worker-friendly majority in the U.S. Senate to work with them. We've got to do that.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, President Saunders. Thank you so much, Sonia. So glad to have you join our conversation this evening. Another reminder, we do have a bit of a queue for everyone waiting there who pressed 7 to provide your email address, but our staff members are working through that queue as fast as they possibly can. So stay on the line. Hang with us for just a moment as we grab your email address, again, by pressing 7. And now let's go to an AFT question for President Weingarten. This question is going to come from Jeff Hood, Van Wert Federation of Teachers. Jeff, you are live on the line right now. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, Randy. I have two questions for you. First of all, do you think that we will count every vote in this upcoming election that's cast properly? And then secondly, what should we as voters be expecting after November 3rd?
So thank you, Jeff. And Jeff Hood is from Van Wert, Ohio. And for everybody else who's listening, we actually took Betsy DeVos to Van Wert. You know, a lot of us are educators, and we hope that everybody's educable. And we try to take Betsy DeVos to some districts that were, you know, in a community that was very friendly to Donald Trump. And, you know, she never actually, after the 3 schools she visited, as Jeff knows, she never followed through with any of the commitments that she made to teachers or to parents that day. And so that's who we know is in the White House and who is the education secretary, someone who doesn't even follow through on a commitment to even answer a question if it's about public education. So I think that the issue, Jeff, is this, that we are concerned because of Donald Trump's rhetoric and because of the shenanigans that we have seen on the ground, that they will and that Trump will attempt to steal this election. The good news is this, that in counties after counties all throughout this country already, the election processes have held. We've already seen an untold number of people voting early. I think it's up to 74, 75 million people who have voted early. We've never seen that. That's, you know, we had maybe 150 million people vote in 2016. So think about that number right now. And so ultimately, what we're going to have to do from November 3rd onward, from the day of the election onward, is we're going to have to be defenders of democracy. That is something that that educators have known how to do for years. That's what workers and unions have had to do, defend voice at work and voice in our democracy. But we're going to have to do it peacefully. And we're going to have to fight to make sure that every community, every election bureau counts every vote, and that every vote is counted and every vote matters. And so the labor movement has been involved in this. Lisa Lee and I have been on phone calls, a member of phone calls over the last few days about how to make sure that our state feds are engaged, our allies are engaged, so that if we need to be on the streets to protest, to defend democracy, we will. But this now requires every vote to be counted. We know the campaign, the Biden-Harris campaign, is very engaged in this, and so this is what our job will be. How sure am I that this will happen? The most important thing we need to do is we need to win big enough so it's too big to rig. And that's the most important thing we need to do between now and November 3rd. And after that, we will be on the streets, in the courts, to make sure that every vote is counted and that Donald Trump cannot attempt to steal this election.
Excellent. Thank you so much, President Weingarten, for that great answer. Thank you so much for that question, Jeff. So glad to have you join our conversation this evening. Let's go right away to our next question. It's going to be another Ask Me question for President Saunders. Patricia Pearson out of Jacksonville, Florida, an Ask Me Chapter 79 retiree. You're live on the line, Patricia. Please go ahead with your question.
Good evening, everyone. My question is, I received Social Security, and I need it to make ends meet. I know that President Trump is threatening to kill Social Security by eliminating the payroll tax. What I don't know is what Vice President Biden will do to make sure Social Security stays where it is to be around for me, my children, my grandchildren, and my lovely 5 great-grandchildren.
5 great-grandchildren, Pat? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me do this. Let me say this first. And I know that we've got a lot of retirees that are on this phone call. I just want to thank all of the retirees from AFSCME and AFT for the work that you do every single day as far as getting on those phones, talking to folks, talking to your family members, engaging with your community partners, and getting this job done, understanding the importance of this election. I've got to say this, if it wasn't for our retirees, we'd have a hole, okay? I mean, our actors are doing a great job, but our retirees always step up to the plate. And I just want to thank you, Pat, and every other retiree on this phone call for the work that you're doing on behalf of your union and on behalf of this country. Now, everybody knows this. Social Security is a critical lifeline for so many retirees across the country, and it's got to be strengthened, and it's got to be protected. Now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris know that you have earned those benefits, paying into the system with every paycheck. You did that, right, Pat? You paid into the system. They will oppose any attempts to cut Social Security, period. And they want to expand Social Security, increasing benefits for those who need it the most, and allowing unpaid caregivers to earn Social Security credits toward their own retirement. They will do this. They will do this by making the wealthiest Americans pay their fair share into the system. It's just plain wrong. It's just wrong that millionaires and billionaires pay a lower percentage of their income into Social Security than working people. If we fix that, when we fix that, we can ensure Social Security will be there for you and future generations to come. Thanks for the question, Pat.
Thank you so much, President Saunders. Thank you so much, Pat. So glad to have you on the line. Let's keep our questions coming. We'll go right away to our next question, but want to remind everyone you can press 0 on the keypad on your phone to get in line with your question. You can also press 7 to provide us your email address. Next, let's go to another question for AFT President Weingarten. This one comes in from Jackie Anderson from the Houston Federation of Teachers. Jackie, you're live on the line right now. Please go ahead with your question.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for this opportunity. I have a question about the mail-in ballots. We've heard so much about the problem with mail. If you do have a mail ballot and it's so close to Election Day, is it better to drop it off in person, or is it still okay to put it in the mail?
So, Jackie, my friend, drop it off in person. And for everyone who's on the phone, at this point, even our brothers and sisters in the Postal Service, who frankly have been doing I'm going to curse a little bit. They've been doing a damn good job under huge constraints to try to get the mail delivered. They've done it through COVID. They've been doing it now. They're the ones who raised the issues about what was going on in the post office. But we are not sure that ballots are going to get back to where they need to get back to by Election Day. And knowing full well what the Republicans are trying to do now, 5 days out, it's really, really, or 6 days, five days out, it's really, really, really important to drop it off. And lots of states, I know in Houston, there's been litigation and there may only be one drop box in the, in the county. But we need to drop these off, make sure that they are received in person as opposed to dropping in, as opposed to mailing them in right now.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that great question. And thank you so much for that excellent, Mark. President Weingarten, our very special guest has entered the call. Why don't you introduce our very special Senator Kamala Harris?
Thank you. And thank you for being a fabulous moderator. It's really hard to moderate these calls, so thank you. So what I want to do is take a minute to say how incredibly grateful we are to have Senator Kamala Harris on this call. She is, doing it safely, but she has been around the country to really meet with voters in this terrible COVID environment and really engage and make sure people know what the Biden-Harris ticket is going to do. She represents hope, as does Joe Biden. And ultimately, it's not just that who she is, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but the hope that you see, the joy that you see in young women, in Black women, in Indian women, in all of us when we are in Kamala Harris's presence. Let me tell you a short vignette. In Detroit, as Kamala was running for president, we had a town hall with her in Detroit and in Dearborn. I watched as she listened intently to every single person who spoke to her, her eyes trained on their eyes. I watched how those folks ran to her after the town hall, wanting to have a moment or two more. I watched how kids were mesmerized by her as she read to them in Dearborn and Detroit. Her compassion is only matched by her conviction and her fierceness in the quest for freedom and justice for all. Whether it was in her position as a DA or AG or senator, and hopefully with our help as vice president, Kamala brings all of that for all of us, for working people, for people who have never had a chance, for the strivers, for the strugglers. That's what she brings with her as a vice presidential nominee, and I am so delighted that she is with us today with AFSCME and AFT, and that she is Joe Biden's vice presidential nominee. And with all of our help, she will be the vice president-elect on November 3rd of this year. Thank you, Senator Harris.
Oh, Randy, thank you. Thank you for that incredible introduction and all that you are. You really are such a force, and Lee Saunders, I know, and AFSCME and all, and it's just good to be in the House of Labor with all of you. Randy, thank you for your friendship and your support. Lee, thank you for the same. You all have been holding it down, and your members and all working people in America have been suffering so horribly these last several months, but really under an administration that has failed to understand the dignity of work, failed to understand the dignity of all human beings. And we've got 5 days to weigh in, to know our power, to express the power of our voice through our vote, and to change the course of the future of our country. And so I just want to thank all of the men and women, all of the brothers and sisters of organized labor for what you do every day. You are on the front lines. You are holding it down and holding it up all at once. And you know, I don't need to tell you what's at stake. We are in the midst of 4 major crises in our country, all happening at once, a public health pandemic that has killed over 225,000 people in our country, many of whom, you all know, and we know, you know, many of whom didn't have a family member to sit by their bed in their last hours on earth because of the nature of this pandemic. 8.5 million, almost 9 million cases of people who have contracted the virus and what that's going to mean in terms of long-term impact for their health. Now a whole new population of people who will have a pre-existing condition. All of this while, you know, we've got the current president trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act that brought health care to over 20 million people. All of this while he's in court with his boy, Bill Barr, trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act that protected people with pre-existing conditions. You know, and I'd say to everybody on this call, if you have or love somebody who has diabetes or high blood pressure or lupus or breast cancer, a pre-existing condition, their lives are very much at stake in terms of the quality of their lives and their ability to have access to affordable health care based on the vote that is going to be over in 5 days. And so there's so much at stake. The economy, the men and women of labor know what's going on. I mean, nationally, 1 in 7 families are describing hunger. Right, we're in the midst of not only an economic crisis being compared to the Great Depression, a public health crisis that I call the greatest mass casualty event we have experienced as a country since World War II, but we're also in the middle of a hunger crisis. People are driving and parked in food lines, standing in food lines for hours, praying that they can get to the end of the line before the food runs out. 1 in 6 households is describing difficulty or inability to pay rent. And we're looking at small businesses, which employ almost half of America's workforce, 1 in 4 being closed since January. So folks are suffering. There's been a lot of harm, and we have witnessed the greatest failure of any presidential administration in the history of our country. And I say all that to say the future is in our hands. No matter how these powerful people in these states want to make it difficult for folks to vote, make it confusing for folks to vote, what we know is when you sit back and ask why are they going through so much trouble to make it difficult or confusing, the answer is they're doing it because they know our power. They know when we vote, things change. They know when we vote, we win. And so we are here to say together, we will not let anybody take our power from us. We know the power of our vote, and we know that especially in these difficult times when people are feeling alone, that we are not going to let anybody feel small or alone. That is the strength of organized labor, which is to organize folks, which is to reach out to folks, mobilize folks, and remind everybody that this is about the collective. When we talk about collective bargaining, it's because we know we are stronger when we stand together in solidarity than leaving anyone to fight alone. We will never leave anyone to fight alone. We will stand together in this fight, and it is a fight for equality and for fairness. It is a fight for working people. So that's where we are. And I just want to thank you all because I was just saying, you know, I've been traveling. I've been in, in the last week and a half. I've been in Nevada, I've been in Florida, I've been in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, earlier this month. I was in Wisconsin. I've been in Ohio yesterday. I was in Arizona. And what I'm seeing around our country is, you know, the men and women of labor and so many others who have benefited from organized labor, who know what's at stake, and they're willing to stand in line for however long it takes. They're organized and to make sure people vote early. And they know that everything is at stake. But one of the things that makes me so excited about being on this ticket with Joe Biden is that, you know, you all know I've had a long history of supporting organized labor and working with organized labor. And Joe Biden is going to probably be one of the greatest pro-labor presidents we've ever had. And that speaks volumes about the possibilities and the opportunities for working people and the dignity of work in America. So with that, I thank you all. And I think I've got some questions that are going to be asked of me, so I'm now going to stop talking. But I do thank you so very much for all you do every day.
Thank you so much, Senator Kamala Harris. We are so honored to have a candidate for U.S. Vice President on the line to answer our questions. We do have a few questions. Want to be respectful of your time. Before we get to our first question, it's going to come from Jack. Want to remind everyone you can press 0 to get in line with your own question. Press 7 to provide us your email address. All right, let's go to our first question for you, Senator Harris. This is from Ask Me, Council 13 member Jack Evans. He is an equipment operator for the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. Jack, you're live on the line right now. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, Senator Harris.
Hi, Jack.
Jack Evans. How are you tonight?
You know, one day at a time, brother.
I hear you. I'm calling from Scranton, Pennsylvania, our next president's hometown.
Yes.
It's great for me to call. Other than getting to the polls and making sure we get our vote in, what else can we do to help you and Vice President Biden in the election now?
You know, I mean, here's the thing, Jack. Do what unions do best, right? It's about organizing, you know, mobilizing folks, and so, you know, activating those phone trees, activating folks to, you know, get their families involved and their neighbors and their coworkers, and just help us get out the vote. Our emphasis, and Randy said this before I started talking, our emphasis really is on early voting. And so in most of the states, early voting is still happening and will continue to happen. And so as much as we can get folks to vote early, that's really the push. If folks want to volunteer, we want them to go to joebiden.com/events. It'd be great to have folks volunteer with the campaign directly. And also, I mean, listen, I will tell you, traveling across the country, and you know, Joe's so proud to be from Scranton, as you know, people who love our country are fighting for the best of who we are, but it's going to be close. This is going to be a close race, and we cannot discount the force on, you know, on the other side that is trying to keep this kind of status quo going. And so we cannot take anything for granted. And you know, if anybody is looking to do something more between now and next Tuesday, let's make sure everyone's voice is heard in this election, encourage people to vote early, and also encourage them to volunteer if they're able.
Thank you, Senator.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jack. So glad to have you on the line. Thanks for joining our conversation. Thank you so much, Senator Harris. One more here for you. This one's going to be from our AFT member, Teresa Martin Major. Teresa, you are live on the line right now. Please go ahead with your question for Senator Harris.
Greetings, Senator Harris. Allow me to first say I am a supporter of the Biden-Harris ticket, and it is an honor to speak with you this afternoon. I also want to tell you that we are family because I'm a proud graduate of an HBCU, Bethune-Cookman University, and I wear the 20 pearls of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated. How about that?
Hello,
as educated with Miami-Dade County Public Schools for 27 years, my concern is this. In Florida, despite COVID cases rising, our governor has insisted on ignoring the data regarding the rise in the number of cases, and has pushed for all schools to be open. I want it to be clear, we all want to be teaching our kids in person, but we also need to make sure it is safe to do so. What will a Biden-Harris administration do to ensure educators are heard during the decision-making process and ensure that our schools provide a safe and productive learning environment?
You know, first of all, Teresa, let me just say that I know that there is no question that Joe and is absolutely understands and is dedicated to what we need to do, to listen to our educators, and he proudly always says, because if nothing else, even though he has a long-standing commitment, because his wife, Jill Biden, is an educator. But
right.
Here's the thing. I mean, I have worked on the issue of education and worked with our educators for years. You know, I proudly talk about the fact that my first grade teacher, Mrs. Frances Wilson, God rest her soul, attended my law school graduation. And the educators in my life were the teachers. It was the school bus drivers. It was the cafeteria workers. It was everybody within the education system who were educating and contributing to the education of our children. So there is a lot that we plan to do and will need to do. I mean, one is to make sure that we will appoint a director of the Department of Education who actually was an educator. So that is something that we will do right off the bat. We will also make sure that we rededicate ourselves to our schools that are in the greatest need, in particular Title I schools, and we will triple the funding for Title I schools, understanding that it is just a wrong-headed system where the school district is funded based on the tax base of the community, and so the people with the most money get the most resources, and the people with the lowest incomes get the least resources, despite the fact that all of those children have a God-given ability to excel if they have the support they need and if their educators have the support they need. So it's about who's going to be the head of the Federal Department of Education. It's about funding of our schools. It's about what we need to do to help our educators to actually get past this moment. And one, about passing a relief package that will support state and local governments. Something that, as you know, in the Republican Senate and with this president, they've been unwilling to do. I have a background. I started out in local government. I held office in state government. I know the role and the responsibility of the people who work in our state and local governments and the heavy weight that they carry in terms of delivering such essential services, including the education of our children. So Joe and I are committed to that. Also, you know, knowing that we have to invest in the infrastructure, right, the physical infrastructure, our schools, so many of our public schools are just falling apart. And then it's highlighted around this COVID virus when we look at, you know, those jurisdictions that are sending kids back to school and teachers and educators back into these buildings but with inadequate ventilation. We need to upgrade the schools. We need to upgrade knowing that, you know, we don't let the children drink out of the water fountains like many of us used to because we know toxic water will be coming out of those fountains. So the work about building back up the infrastructure of America includes building up the infrastructure of our public schools. We also have, as part of our plan for implementation, as we go through the various phases of recovery, getting resources to our educators around PPEs that include everything from masks to, you know, what is going to need to be supplemented in terms of everything from hand sanitizers to appropriate facilities for cleaning and disinfecting the school area. And what Joe and I know is that, look, and you all have heard me talk about this many times, the last number I saw, 94% of our educators were coming out of their own back pocket to help pay for school supplies. That was before the pandemic. Well, we know that it's just logical to also know if we don't fix this and give more resources to our educators and to our public education system, that they're going to be coming out of their own pocket for hand sanitizers and masks too, and that is wrong. It should not fall on them to carry the burden of doing what an administration and the government should be doing to support our educators. So those are the many things that we intend to do. But, you know, listen, the bottom line is that we agree with our educators and our pediatricians and superintendents that schools with the highest levels of COVID-19 should not be compelled to reopen against the judgment of local experts, which, of course, include our educators.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that great question, Teresa, and thank you also, Senator Harris, for the great answer. Just want to thank you so much on the behalf of AFSCME and AFT for taking the time to talk with us this evening.
Thank you all. Let's get out and vote early, and thank you for all your work and your leadership. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, that was candidate for U.S. Vice President, Senator Harris. Our call is not over, though. Another reminder, you can press 7 on the keypad on your phone to provide us your email address. That is a great way for us to keep you up to date going forward. We're also going to get right back to your live questions and answers. We're going to start off with Mark here, but I want to do a last call to press 7 to provide us your email address. Also, you can visit askme.org/vote for information about voting options and ballot tracking. All right, right now let's go to an Ask Me question for President Saunders. This one's going to come from Mark Eustace out of Lewiston, Maine, from Council 93, Local 1458. Mark, you're live on the line right now. Please go ahead with your question for President Saunders.
Thank you. President Saunders, American politics has become almost unrecognizable to me and looks nothing like what I was taught about growing up. It seems to be all about power and nothing about people. What would you say to someone like me who's sick of that?
Well, thanks for the question. And here, it's real simple. It's very, very simple. And I'm going to quote Joe Biden. We've got to vote. We've got to vote. We've got to vote. I mean, we have the opportunity this year to make change, positive change for our country. We have the ability to talk about improving upon the lives of working families in Massachusetts and Wisconsin and California and Illinois, all over this country. But the way that we do that is to vote. The way that we do that is to make a decision on who we're supporting, and not only at the national level, but vote for the Senate, for the House, and for all of those down-ballot races across the country. I mean, that's our neighborhood. That's where we live and breathe, in those down-ballots. So we've got opportunities to elect new governors, to flip state legislatures, mayors, county commissions. We've got to engage in this process. And we're going to do just that. And I would just urge you, when you vote, when you've done the things that you need to do, start talking to your families, start talking to your friends, and make sure that they understand the importance of voting, especially in the election this year. We can make that difference. But the way you make that difference, that positive change, is to get out and vote. And that's what we must do.
Excellent. Thank you so much, President Saunders. Thank you so much, Mark, for that great question. We got one more question up here. This is going to go to AFT President Weingarten. This one comes from Jessica Harris, the Bacchus Federation of Nurses, Local 5149. Jessica, you're live on the line right now. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. How can I volunteer, even at this late stage of the campaign, to help us win on November 3rd?
Well, thank you, Jessica, for that question. And I want to also thank everybody for all of their amazing questions. And, you know, I'm taking a lot of notes on Lee's answers, too, because they've been so fabulous. And so, but Jessica, first, congratulations on that successful strike. And, you know, it just was the kind of adage of together we can accomplish what is impossible to do alone, which is who the labor movement is and who the Baucus Federation has been. And as I want to kind of piggyback on something that Lee just said in response to Mark, which is think about who was on that line with us. Joe Courtney, your congressman, he was there. He showed up for us. He showed up in terms of fighting for a violence, an anti-violence standard in OSHA, because we know how much violence has been, frankly, in the workplace and how much, you know, we need the protection in our healthcare facilities. This is what we mean by we know that, that it's not just as important as the presidency and the vice presidency is. We also need to vote for pro-working people, candidates up and down the ballot in terms of Senate, in terms of House, in terms of state races, because we need people in office that have a lens, look at these problems through a lens of what those struggles of workers are and the striving of workers are. So that's number one. Number two, I assume that you've voted already and that you've gotten your, you know, friends and family to vote, because volunteering in that way, you are trusted. They trust you. They'll listen to you because they may have Fox on all the time. And so, you know, we need to actually counter those kind of messages that are full of lies and deception. So that's really important, volunteering, in terms of getting, you know, really talking to our friends and talking to our family about what the stakes are and making sure that they go and vote as well. And then number three, just like AFSCME, and for the AFSCME brothers and sisters that have all sorts of material on the AFSCME website, we have all sorts of material on the AFT website. You can go to aftvotes.org, aftvotes.org, and you can see volunteer opportunities up and down. We needed 2,000 volunteers on our national program for this month. We've had over almost 7,000 volunteers. We thought in our national program we'd be doing about 100,000 contact calls, not that in addition to the texts and everything else. We're already over 450,000 calls. We need to keep that going. So there's a lot of people in Connecticut who have volunteered with us. We've been doing these great kind of Zoom virtual phone banks. We've been doing lit drops. We've been doing all sorts of other things, and we would love it if you would volunteer with us in the last 4 days as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much, President Weingarten. Thanks for that great question, Jessica. And with that, we have just about reached the end of our allotted time, so I'm going to turn this over to you, President Lee Saunders, first to give us a few closing remarks.
Well, thank you, moderator. Let me tell you, AFSCME and AFT, we know what we have to do. We know what we have to do. It is time. It is time to do what we do best. It is time to raise our voice and show our power. It is time to flex our grassroots political muscle, and we've got a lot of muscle. It's time to take ownership of our future. It's time to make more calls and send more texts. It's time to mobilize in overwhelming numbers for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and pro-worker candidates up and down the ballot. It is time. Make a plan to vote. If you voted already, make sure your friends and family have a plan to vote. For AFSCME members and retirees, go to AFSCME.org/vote if you need help. AFSCME.org/vote. And if you're looking to phone bank or get involved in other Get Out the Vote activities, visit our virtual field offices at AFSCME.org/VFO. There's so much hanging in the balance right now. You heard all about it. You heard Randy talk. You heard Senator Harris speak. So much hanging in the balance. Everything our unions stand for. Everything that matters to our families. Everything that matters to our communities. We cannot afford to give anything less than maximum effort for the next several days, leaving nothing to chance and putting everything on the line. That's what we must do. Randy and I are counting on you. Make no mistake about it. Joe and Kamala are counting on you. Your communities are counting on you, and your country is counting on you. I want to thank you once again for everything that you have done up to this point, for everything that you do every single day, being those everyday heroes that I talked about earlier. I want to thank you in advance for everything you'll do between now and Tuesday. It is time. It is time. Let's get it done, Union family. Let's bring it home. Let's win this election. Randy, you got it, sister.
Thank you, bro. And I, look, you know, this is our family. Our unions, AFSCME, AFT, we're family together. We stand together so often in so many fights over so many years in so many communities, standing up the services, as both Lee and I have said earlier, that people depend on. And we have a right. You have a right to have people in higher office who respect you, who respect us, who respect the work that we do, who will tell us the truth, who will lie, who will deceive, who will actually fund those services, who will actually make sure that people have decent health care and our kids have decent schools. When we're not making these kind of decisions between life and learning, when we're not having to deal with people who when we fight for anti-racist policies, that they would tear gas peaceful protest, who would actually go for a tax cut for the rich who already have enough money. I don't begrudge them, but what about the middle class and the path to the middle class? What about having a right to have a union? It's, you know, it's whatever issue we care about, it's all on the ballot this time. And it's not just that we're defeating someone who fights or who thrives on chaos, who thrives on division, who thrives on hate. It's not just we're fighting against Donald Trump, but we have good people to vote for. And Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they care about us. They care about you. You see that. But ultimately, it's close. And we can't leave anything on the table in this most consequential election. People are fearful. They're fearful of their lives. We need brothers and sisters, we need you out there in the next 4 or 5 days. We need to get people to the polls. We need to leave no stone unturned. We can't look back this time and say, would have, could have, should have. This is for everything. Our democracy, our kids, our future, our economy, our decency, our respect, ourselves, and our lives. So it's kind of like, I know when we're tired, we need to press a little bit more, but that's what we have to do right now. One day longer, one day stronger, vote like our lives depend on it, because they do. Thank you, Brother Lee. Thank you, AFSCME. Thank you, AFT. Thank you for everything you've done and for everything we will do in the next 5 days.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much, President Randy Weingarten of AFT. Thank you so much, President Lee Saunders of AFSCME. And thank you to all of you, our sisters and brothers, for staying on this forum with us. We had an excellent participation tonight. In a moment here, I'll conclude our town hall. If you did not speak with one of our staff members, please leave your full name and personal email address on our voicemail at the end of this call, so we may share more information with you about the upcoming election and other important issues going forward. You can go to AFSCME.org/vote or AFTVotes.org/AFTVotes-resources for more information about voting options and ballot tracking. Couldn't have said it better than everyone did tonight. Let's bring it home. Let's win this election. Get out the vote. Thank you all so much. Have a great rest of your evening.